on down in verse 17, in Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself, Jesus, took my infirmities and He bare my sickness. Jesus, the King of the universe, He bore your infirmity or your sin. Now, do any of us have sin? Oh, yeah, we have sin. We had a lot before we come to Jesus. And the more you know Him, the closer you'll walk with Him, the less sin you will have in your life. And the goal is to get rid of how much sin? All of it. That's exactly right. Get rid of all of it. He bore our infirmity or our sin because He does not want us to have any sin in our life. He wants us to be pure and clean. How long does it take most of us to master that? Most Christians that I know have never mastered that. You know, we don't even try because we don't believe, we don't know that's what He says. But when you stop and look in this verse 17, Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and He bare my sickness. So if Jesus Christ bore my sickness, when that becomes a revelation in my heart, I can stand up and walk off saying, I'm not sick and I ain't going to be sick. But you know, I mean, I can remember the very first group of Christians, all Christians, that when I received Jesus Christ as my personal healer way back yonder, 30-something years ago, when I walked in the next morning, I walked in praising the Lord. I said, glory to God. And they said, Thurman, what are you so happy about this morning? I said, you guys and gals are looking at a man that found in the Word of God last night where Jesus bore my sickness. He removed my disease. And that He completely healed me on the cross. Before He went to the cross, by His stripes I was healed. I said, so you're looking at a man that received Jesus Christ as his personal healer by faith in the Word of God. And I said, I guarantee you, I ain't never going to have another sick day. And they all laughed at me. They all said, Thurman, you have always been a religious fanatic. Now you've gone completely off the deep end. You know that everybody has got to be sick. If I believe everybody's going to be sick, what's probably going to happen to me? I'm going to be sick, right? Sooner or later, something's going to come along and it's going to knock my legs out from under me and I'm going to be in the hospital. And so if I'm going around telling everybody, you know, I'm not ever going to be sick again, people start paying attention. In fact, one of the Baptist preachers that worked for us there at the place, he told them all after I left, I said, you know, I guarantee you I ain't going to be sick. I got a rhema word last night. I got a revelation from God that He's already bore my sickness, so I ain't going to have to bear it no more. I'm going to let Him have it from now on. He can keep it. I don't want it. When I walked off one of the Baptist preachers there, he told the girls and the guys, he said, you know, Thurman's kind of gone off the deep end a little bit, so let's just wait. He said, you know he'll come down with the flu. He said, he has the flu every year. And I did. Until I got this revelation, I used to say every time that the year came along at the cool part of the fall, I said, well, it's cool time of year again. It's flu season. I guess I'll catch the flu again. I have it every year. Now then, what did I believe? I'm going to catch the flu. So guess what I had? I had the flu every year. As I believe in my heart, so shall it be. Why don't we get a hold of the revelation that God's given us in His Word and stand on it. Now then, I mean, boy, if a runny nose even were to start on me, no. We ain't going there. You devil of hell. I mean, Jesus bore my sickness. Start quoting scripture to Him. Tell the enemy, no, you ain't going to do this to me no more. I'm not going to be sick. I'm going to walk in obedience to God's Word. I'm going to do what the Word of God says. I am not going to be sick. I believe in my heart that Jesus paid the price for my sin so I don't have to sin every day. And I believe with all my heart that He paid the price for my sickness so I don't have to be sick anymore. So if I believe that, if I really got that in my heart, then should I ever be sick again? No, huh? Now what if I say I believe that and I do get sick? Well, this is something most people don't want to hear. You got a sin in your life. There's a beautiful little lady, probably 25, 28 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood, came out here with her mother and dad, and she was having all kinds of problems with her body. I mean, she was having diarrhea problems, stomach problems, cramps, you know, you name it, she was having the problem. And I was teaching these principles about how sexual immorality will bring sickness upon your body. Well, she just happened to be living with a young man, and she didn't like what I was talking about. You're okay till I start talking about your sin. But anyway, she would not come up. Boy, that Sunday after church was over, as soon as it was over, man, she is out the door. She told her mom and dad, she said, "I hate that guy. I ain't never going back out there. I don't like what he preaches." Well, she didn't like it because I was talking about her sin. They finally enticed her about 3 weeks later to come back. When she came back, she came up that day and said, "You know, I got a question. I want to be prayed for. I've had this problem with my stomach. I'm having diarrhea problems. I'm having cramps, all kinds of things." And I said, "Well, are you a Christian?" She said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Are you married?" She says, "No." "Are you living with a boy?" "Yes, I am." I said, "Well, are you having sex with him?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Well, you know that's sin." She said, "Well, I know. About 3 weeks ago, I was here and I heard you point it out, and I saw it on the Word where God said that was sin." So I said, "Do you want to get healed?" And she said, "Well, of course. First of all, before I can get you healed, you got to make God a promise you'll stop sinning. You got to say right here, 'Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm sorry. I've been living with this boy and I ain't married to him. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. And I promise you, I will never go to bed with another man I'm not married to first." I said, "Can you do that?" She said, "If I do," I said, "then I'll pray for you. And I guarantee you my King will heal you." She said, "If I do not," then I said, "ain't no use me praying for you because he ain't going to heal you." I said, "If I pray for you, I'm going to be wasting my breath." I said, "God's a healer, not me. I just get to pray the prayer." So she said, "Okay, Lord, I make you that promise." She said, "I've never heard these principles before in my life, never heard this before. But Lord, I promise you that I will not sleep with a man that I'm not married to, never again until I get married." And I said, "Do you mean that?" She said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Okay," I reached over and just touched her. "I want to show you a scripture. God made us a promise that if somebody comes up like that and she doesn't have the kind of faith, because I guarantee she didn't have the faith she needed to get healed on her own. Mark 16:17-18, Jesus made those of us that believe his word an awesome set of promises. Mark 16:17-18, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Now, there's a lot of unbelieving believers in the church today. You know, we got a few that really believe these promises. And why do some of them believe these promises and some do not? Because some spend time with God. You cannot continue to read these kind of scriptures over and over and over and meditate on them and them not become a rhema word to you. And so when they become a rhema word to you, then they will work for you. "And these signs shall follow them that believe," and I'm a believing believer. "In my name, the name of Jesus, shall they cast out devils and shall they speak with new tongues." Well, I needed to cast out a devil out of this girl, but I didn't need to speak with a new tongue. I could if I'd have wanted to. But it said, "And they shall take up serpents," that's the devil, "and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So after the girl repented, I reached over and put my hands on her little arms. I said, "Now you devil of hell," because guess what that was inside of her body that was messing it up? Demons, that's right, demons of hell. When we open the door to sin, God made these things and he gave them the power to do three things: steal, kill, and to destroy. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like none of them. I don't like that. I'd a whole lot rather walk in love and get the part where he says, "Now I'm a loving God and I love you." I don't want him to send a demon to steal, kill, and destroy. So anyway, I told her, I said, "You know, I'm going to cast out this demon and then I'm going to lay my hands on you and the King's going to heal you." And so I just quoted a verse. That's all I can do. You know, I just quote the word and say, "Lord, now it's done. She's delivered. That demon's gone. We broke the curse over her." So I said, "Honey, you're healed in Jesus' name." And she said, "That's all you have to do?" I said, "That's it. God, he does the rest of it. You know, that's all. I just do my part and he does his part." She said, "Now, you really believe I'm going to get healed?" I said, No. I don't believe you're going to get healed. I know you're going to get healed. You made God a promise, and I prayed in faith with nothing wavering. I guarantee God's going to set you free, girl." Well, about 2 or 3 weeks later, she come walking back in here and with tears in her eyes, said, "Pastor, can I give my testimony today?" I said, "Yes, honey. What did God do for you?" She said, I just don't want to tell it till I tell it up front." I said, "Okay, come on." So she came up here and she said, "You know, a few weeks ago, I come out here," and she said, "I hated him." She told that part too, didn't she? She said, "I hated you because you preached on my sin." But she said, "Mom and Dad finally enticed me to come back, and I come up here, and I listened to what you had to say, and I repented, and you prayed for me." And she said, "Before I got out the door from this church, I had no stomach cramps. I have not had a single stomach cramp. I've not had any diarrhea. I have been completely healed for the last 3 weeks, she said, I am in complete perfect health. She said, I guarantee you, they won't no boy ever touch me again until I get married.
Amen.
Now, see, whenever a girl learns as a consequence, she might say, no. You know that? And, of course, if she got pregnant, there might be a consequence of the child being mentally, physically, or whatever, impaired. That would really put a hold on you, loosing your body to somebody for a one-night fling. When God says no sex before marriage, what do y'all think he meant? No sex till you're married. And when you get married, that's a wedding present. He gives you a wedding present. You can have all the sex you want to after you get married. But it's before you get married, it is a big deal, and it brings forth all kinds of sickness and disease. Now then, let's go back to that verse in Matthew 8:13. I want you to just meditate on that Matthew 8:13 one more time. Look at Matthew 8:13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, as you have believed, so be it done unto you, as you have believed. Now then, if you have come out here for a need today and you want to be free of a demon, you want to be free of sickness and disease or anything else, when I pray for you, what do you have to do? You have to believe. Is that right? Before we go to the next verse there, I want to take you back to Psalm 66:18, and I want to show you something else you have to do. Now, this is a prerequisite to get healed. Look at what Psalm 66:18 says. Look at this. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Is that what he said? So if you come up to be prayed for in a little while, you've got to do what first? Repent of sin. If you've got any kind of a sin in your life, you know, you need to make sure you've repented of that sin. Because you may be like some people I've seen, they say, well, you know, this little sin I've done, this is my pet little sin, but I know God doesn't know what I've been doing. He knows everything, don't he? You cannot try to hide your sin from God. So if you want to get healed, if you want to get delivered, you want to get set free, you want your life to be changed, all you have to do is repent of your sin. And of course, one of the sins that so many people have is a sin of unbelief. They come up here thinking, you know, I've never heard stuff like this before. I hope this is going to work when he prays for me. Well, it don't, because you're not there. You're not believing yet. You're believing the wrong thing.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Total Love and Obedience, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.